The London game was a weird game, started very weird. It was just a very, very weird game. And I addressed my D-line about that, just about how weird these games could be. I remember the game we played in Jacksonville, and it was a sunny day. I mean, great day. I remember it vividly, but it was just a weird aura. And then playing in London, it was just a weird, I can't even explain it. It was just a weird game, and I ain't never beat these guys, so it's just weird, man.
Ed Oliver, it's pretty weird. Bills, Jags. Let's get weird. Bills, Jags. I mean,
he's never beaten him. That's true.
He's not wrong. You hear him say that. Every Bills fan's like, yeah. The playoff game in 2017 is pretty weird.
Yep.
Let's go all the way back to Nate Clements not knocking down a 4th-and-12, and then Ernest Wilford catching a touchdown in the back of the end zone on opening day. That was pretty weird.
Okay. Yep.
Mark Brunell won a playoff game here. That's pretty weird.
Have we ever had a good Bills-Jaguars memory?
The Josh Allen touchdown pass to Robert Foster.
That was
against the Jags. And that was pretty weird because it's still impossible to understand how he could make the throw.
Yeah.
All right, add that to the weird chronicles.
There was also Allen making a perfect pass before he was really that good a passer. Like, he was pretty inaccurate in his rookie season.
Yeah.
And that was, like, a perfect pass. That game, the only two things I remember from that game, that pass and I think Leonard Fournette and Shaq Lawson getting in a fight and Sal in the middle of it.
That's pretty weird.
There's a good picture of Sal in between those two ready to go at it.
There are two London games against this team. That's pretty weird.
The first London game.
I was at the first one. I left at halftime because the Bills were getting stomped on, and they came back and took a lead.
That's a story, isn't it, by the way? You went all the way to London for a Bills game, and you left at halftime.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You went across the globe.
I dare you to watch that first half. I dare you to watch that first half and tell me you would have stayed. There's also,
I would have stayed just because I would have felt like I had to.
There's also context. I was at the game with my now wife. She was flying back to the U.S. the next day, and I was flying to Spain with my buddy, like to stay in Europe for a couple of days.
Okay.
And it was kind of like, hey, we only have one more night here. Why would we subject ourselves to the second half of this game when a world city is, you know, at our feet? So we left.
And missed EJ Manuel hitting Marcus Easley for a bomb touchdown.
That's right. I missed that. And instead, I was walking 10 miles looking for a fish and chips.
That's pretty weird. That guy was on the Bills for like 8 years. I think that was his only catch.
Weird. All right. Ed Oliver said weird as many times as we found weird.
All right. It's a weird rivalry.
It is weird.
It's maybe the Bills' weirdest rival, the Bills and the Jaguars. Well, yeah?
Is there anything else we forgot?
You mentioned the playoff game. Wasn't the thing about the playoff game they threw? Did they have third and goal, second and goal? Were they on the one and threw a fade to Kelvin Benjamin and then it blew up?
I don't know.
Offensive pass interference, maybe. Does that ring a bell? I just remember hating the fade route after that game. Like, they had a shot to get in and they threw a fade to Benjamin and it all went wrong. Maybe against Jalen Ramsey. I don't know. And then Peterman, of course. That season had to end on a Peterman interception.
That's right. Peterman got picked up by Jalen Ramsey on like the last play.
That's how the game ended.
He went in because Tyrod got hurt.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird. Peterman goes in to finish out the season.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Bills and Jags.
Flutie's broken play against the Jags was weird. Thanks to Russ for tweeting that in. Yeah.
Yeah, drought Bills against the Jags. Isn't there a Bledsoe game in there where they score a million points?
Ooh. Bledsoe and the Jags.
I think, again, I'm like 9 maybe, so it's very, fuzzy.
There was a 98-yard touchdown pass to Terrell Owens against the Jags.
Yeah, okay, that's good, yes.
James Hardy caught a game-winning touchdown against the Jags.
James Hardy had a game-winning catch?
I think so.
Did he?
Did he not? Didn't he have one play?
I don't remember a single play from his Bills career. Rest in peace, James Hardy. I found the Bledsoe game. Any memory of this? 2003. Week two of 2003. So that's Bledsoe's second year with the Bills, right? The Bills beat the Jags 38-17. Bledsoe goes for 314 yards, 2 touchdowns. Anything? In Jacksonville.
Yes, that's week 2.
Week two, big Bobby Shaw game.
That's week two because so they beat the Patriots 31-0 the week before.
Yeah,
then they go to beat the Jaguars
38-17.
And on PTI, which was actually on the air back in that time,
wow.
They talked about the Bills as the best team in football. And then the Bills went to, if I'm not wrong, Miami the next week and got beaten by the Dolphins when Ricky Williams ran it 42 times.
Sounds like
check.
Okay,
I'm serious.
It sounds like a Bills drought season to a T, though. Well, I guess not many they would have been called by PTI the best team in football.
No, I think Travis Henry threw an interception in that game too. Week three, in Miami primetime game.
Yeah, they lost 17-7.
Okay, show me a Travis Henry interception and 42 carries for Ricky Williams.
Do you remember it being a Sunday night game?
Yes.
Okay, it was Sunday night football, at Pro Player Stadium. Is that the same stadium? Probably
Yep, same one.
Dave Wanstead's Dolphins.
Of course.
All right, and yeah, there's a... Hold on here. What was the... You got Ricky Williams doing 40, what?
42 carries.
Ricky Williams, 42 for 153 and a touchdown.
42 carries in a football game.
Travis Henry, 0 for 1 with an interception.
Let's go.
He was... Travis Henry... Look at the starting running backs in this game. Ricky Williams, 42 for 153 and a touchdown. Travis Henry, 5 carries for 7 yards.
By the way, you were right on the James Hardy touchdown as well, but it was a go-ahead touchdown.
Okay.
It wasn't the last-second game.
No, they went ahead, but they did win the game 20-16.
Yes. He scored a 7-yard touchdown pass from Trent Edwards to make it 17-16 with 4:10 to go in the fourth quarter.
All right.
This team, just give me a dominant... The Jags, enough. They should be smoking this team every time they play them. This team is dumb, and they are never as good as you think they are, and the Bills just can't beat them. Come on. 40-point performance here against the Jags. And they're due. They're due to destroy the Jaguars. They beat everybody by 100 in the last 5 years, except this team.
All right, so...
Even when their coach is out there kicking the kicker at practice, is beating them 9-6.
Yeah. How's it going to be weird this time? We'll find out. Monday Night Football. We're going to get weird. 803-0550. All right, in addition to talking Bills-Jags a little bit, we've asked the question, what is the weirdest... most dramatic rules change you support? After Mel Kiper yesterday said they should ban too high safety looks, what's the rule change you support? Brian Mazurowski down the hall at BEN. Allow NHL teams to have different size rinks. That's a wild one.
Kind of like baseball with different size fields.
Yeah, unique rinks, basically. Jeff writes in, after scoring the ability to keep the ball on a 4th-and-20 instead of kicking off. That's the Schiano. Greg Schiano has that crazy rule. Instead of the onside kick, let's do a 4th-and-20 play. Matt writes in, a play-in tournament for the NHL, similar to what the NBA does. And the NBA has done that to I think, great reviews. High seed choosing playoff opponents, support that. Another one, harshly enforce intentional grounding. I would have supported.
Okay.
How
harshly enforce? What is so that means? What
like? I think that means actually enforce it. Because right now you watch games, you're like, he definitely intentionally grounded that ball, but we don't call that intentional grounding.
Yeah, Rodgers. You see, there was a play last night where Rodgers was in the pocket. Here comes the pressure in his face, and he throws. He's maybe on the 30, and he throws the ball out of the back of the end zone
into the second deck.
Into the second deck.
Yeah, like it was a heave,
and he's immediately runs to the ref and is going, oh, no, I was trying to throw it to him. Garrett Wilson is maybe 15, 20 yards to the right,
yeah.
And he's trying to and they let him go on it. That would be, okay, well, all right, we're gonna be easy on you on this one. That would be letter of the law. Okay, the ball landed 30 yards from the nearest receiver. We probably should throw a flag here.
Let's get Mark and Tonawanda. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I just think that the quarterback play is down, and that's the reason for this lack of passing. And just taking back to, it felt like when Diggs was here, Josh Allen in the playoffs is either to Diggs or run. And I think that you have the upper echelon of quarterbacks and then a huge drop-off. You have Mahomes, Allen, you put in Stroud and, say, Burrow. But after that, it just maybe, you know, offenses aren't as complex where guys like Peyton Manning, Brady, they couldn't run. They didn't have that that pass run option that colleges are using and bringing these quarterbacks up in. And I think it's the reads are a lot less, and that's the result of what we're seeing. But also, Jeremy, I love your hockey rule at the end of the game, but I'd extend that to periods too.
Sure.
I don't want the NHL or the other team going in for an intermission.
Yeah.
For a break. Right. So.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, that's the one that if you take a penalty, the game can't end. Football does that. If you take a penalty on the last play, what do? They extend the game.
Yeah.
There's another play. Like, we're not going to end the game on a penalty. Are you crazy? Why would we do that? You could just cheat at the end.
Right.
And hockey, oh, no. Take a penalty with 10 seconds left, that's fine. Game over.
There really should be more tackling when there's like 5 seconds left in a hockey game.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that?
And then just don't touch the puck.
Lindy, get on this with the players. Enforcing them. Guys, if there's 5 seconds left and we're up one, everybody tackle the nearest player.
Yeah. It's amazing NHL teams haven't employed that.
Yeah.
Even 20 seconds left. How, there's a face-off and, you know.
How true is it that, like, how many are there? Quarterbacks in the league that are starting, have started already in this season and are going to start week three, they're just legitimately bad. And they are really making this all look worse than it is.
Well, to that point, can I read you something about Bryce Young, who might be your first answer on this?
Because he would be the worst.
Okay.
QBR this year, he is dead last with a 9.1.
Okay. Charles Robinson of Yahoo wrote this about Bryce Young. When I talk to personnel people around the league and ask them if everyone was simply wrong in their draft assessments of Bryce Young, the response is similar. They all believe that Young still has the talent and the tools to succeed in the NFL, and they all seem to believe the culprit behind his failure is Carolina's surrounding roster and organizational chaos.
Okay.
So I only bring that up because I found that yesterday and thought it was amazing. Here are your number one example for the worst quarterback in football. This guy's just not good. It's like, actually, the team stinks. The system stinks, which, I don't know.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That's for the worst guy.
Because there are guys that we've seen this happen with. Goff was horrible.
Yeah.
And then got Sean McVay and was good.
Yep.
And now he's in another good system and he can play. And I don't know how many other guys that this example is so drastic with. Like, Darnold is 2 weeks into looking good again.
Yep. And he's someone that was one in that Carolina spot. And before that, it was Adam Gase.
Baker Mayfield is someone that had looked like it was over and is now kind of good again. Derek Carr, maybe. Like, there's...
But there's not all these guys.
No,
right?
I know.
It's not Daniel Jones, right?
No, that's right.
He's just bad.
It looks like he's just bad.
Deshaun Watson. He's just bad.
Looks like he's just bad.
I guess, though, like maybe it's half and half. Maybe there are guys where, you know, why is it not going well I'm looking at QBR right now, like for the season. Why is it not going as well for Trevor Lawrence as it might? Trevor Lawrence, I saw, had in the third quarter, when he first got the during his second drive of the third quarter, he had 16 passing yards last week. Like, the first half of the game, nothing. And there are people wanting more from him. Is it that he's not as good as his production, which is like middle of the road at best? Or is it just that Doug Peterson might actually not be a very good offensive coach and that their system might actually not be that good for a quarterback to get the most out of him?
It is funny, the thing about Lawrence. Like, the evaluations of Lawrence... Film guys on Twitter and online will tell you that Lawrence is still elitely talented and great. But if we're looking at where he is in his career arc, we had a Jags guest on this week who said he doesn't do enough to make you think he's one of the top guys. He started with Urban Meyer. All right, that's a disaster. Everybody gave him a pass Urban Meyer, chaos, forget that. Never mind. Then it's Doug Peterson, and it looks better.
Yeah, that 4,100 yards, 25 touchdowns, 8 picks.
Yeah, it looks better, but 25 touchdowns.
Right.
In today's game, 25 is it's not that impressive if you're not running them in. Like, if Allen runs in, if Allen throws 25, he's passing, sorry, let me try and get my thoughts together. If Allen throws 25, he's running for 15.
Right.
And how many does Lawrence run for, like two?
That year he ran for five.
Five.
It's usually like three, four, or five.
Okay.
Yeah.
25 is not a very big number for an elite level quarterback.
No, for someone who, nicknames on Pro Football Reference, man. For someone whose nickname on Pro Football Reference who is the Prince Who Was Promised. Yeah, 25 touchdowns is not amazing for the Prince Who Was Promised, I
and
must say.
They've not really ever been short on weapons for him.
They've always, last year it was Calvin Ridley and Kirk's been there for a couple of years. So they've always been good. Have they ever had like a true elite number one? They probably haven't had that though. But they do have a staple of, they're the team who like everybody eats should be the thing about them because they have a bunch of guys that are good. Evan Ingram even, right? The tight end's pretty good. So yeah, I don't know. Like he might be one though where I might say it's more about the system than it is about him. I might want to trust the film guys who are showing me three throws a week, like that this guy layering throws. He made the touchdown to Brian Thomas against Miami.
Unbelievable throw, that one.
Like, might be one of the best throws in the league all year. So I might want to think there's a, if he had Brian Daboll, or if he had, you know, it doesn't have to be McVay or Shanahan, just if he had somebody else, that he might be one of those guys. Anyways, like, the whole totality of the point here is, maybe it's a combination of it, that you have bad systems in the league right now, and you have a lot of bad quarterbacks in the league right now. Maybe the difference between the top guys and the bottom guys, both at coordinator and at quarterback, is as great as it's ever been.
803-0550. Get some more calls in here. James in Hamilton. Hey, James, good morning.
Morning, guys. I was wondering if maybe allowing pre-snap forward motion from the receivers like they do up here in the CFL would help get a little bit more separation, a little bit more motion. You might get might get a little more passing offense.
Uh-huh.
Thoughts?
You know, anytime there's a suggestion to borrow something from another league, I think we have to entertain it as possible. You know, forward motion, CFL's had that. The Arena Football League has always had that. I don't know if the XFL ever had that.
I don't think they did.
But I don't hear a lot of chatter for that. I mean, right now what you have is one player is allowed motion, that they're not allowed to move forward. You are allowed to put two players in motion, but they must reset, right?
Yep.
I wonder if motion changes. I mean, that would be small kind of stuff. And again, like that's the thing about any sort of NFL rule change. A small change leads to, boom, it's a petri dish. Bam, let's see what everybody comes up with. And if all of a sudden I've got Tyreek Hill running forward at the snap, that actually might break football.
I might like this. Isn't that my answer for if I'm directly looking at the two high safeties, they're in the parking lot. That's the thing. Mel Kiper says you're not allowed to line up 20 yards back. Isn't it kind of the same solution, just doing it a different way by allowing, hey, you're allowed to have one receiver running forward. This is how it's going to be. No one can figure out right now how to get plays in over the top. We want our big plays. We want our splash plays on offense because that's what people want to see. That's what fans want to see. We're not going to tell you can't line them up 30 yards behind the line of scrimmage, but we're going to allow Curtis Samuel to be running forward when the snap gets to Josh Allen.
803-0550.
I might not hate it.
We're talking Bills, Jags. Also, we're asking for your crazy rule ideas on the heels of Mel Kiper wanting to ban too high safety looks. So there are no bad ideas, especially if we ask for them. Dennis in Williamsville. Hey, Dennis. Good morning.
Hey, guys. So this one kind of goes to the quarterback conversation you were just having. But I don't know if you guys saw the Colin Cowherd statement yesterday about, you know, how some quarterbacks are system dependent, and he said Josh Allen's at the very top of the list with needing to have a perfect situation with an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he said he was coordinator dependent.
Yeah.
Yes. And Patrick Mahomes is not in things, and I mean, that's just like a weird take, but especially with the guys he named. But I do think that that does matter a lot. I mean, could you imagine being Sam Darnold getting drafted by the Jets and just thinking, holy crap, you know, like, or Zach Wilson, you know, these guys. And then you get a chance to go somewhere else, and the system and the whole organization makes such a difference for you. I mean, look at Geno Smith; he's another one. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. You guys named three or four, and there's even more of them out there, and it happens all the time. I mean, I am not one to say Patrick Mahomes the overrated thing or anything like that. That's not me. However, I would say, I think he got drafted to the best situation any quarterback could possibly ever get drafted in. With Andy Reid, you know, I mean, he took Alex Smith and Donovan. Every quarterback he's ever touched has made it to the AFC or NFC championship game multiple times. I mean, so to get drafted into that system, when another guy gets drafted into the Jets system who can't make the playoffs for 30 years, you know, I mean, it makes such a difference.
Yeah, the point about coordinator dependent, thanks, Dennis. I heard that and thought, it sounds like an insult, and he might have meant it as he's, you know, coordinator dependent. I would agree, but I would also say everybody's coordinator dependent and supporting cast dependent. And that's, to me, that shouldn't be controversial. Like, the reason that he listed Mahomes and Burrow ahead of him because they're not coordinator dependent, could that just be because their coordinator is their head coach? So those two are going to have a completely flatlined, like, you've removed a variable.
Right.
And with Allen, let's say that Joe Brady puts Allen in a perfect situation. The Bills are amazing all year. Guess what? He gets a new coordinator next year. And then his success will depend on how good that coordinator is. So to call him coordinator dependent, he might have meant it as an insult. He might have also meant it as he has built-in volatility based on the fact that he's going to always be changing coordinators.
Feels like he should have saved that for when he's making a point about defensive coaches.
Right. That's probably right.
Yeah.
And, you know, to your point about systems here, let's look at New England right now. Last night, Jacoby Brissett, like, the honeymoon's over. He didn't do anything any good at all.
Yep.
And Jerod Mayo was asked about, when is it time to start Drake May? Drake May went in last night. Mop-up duty behind a terrible offensive line on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a team doing that against New England. I think it was J.P. Lossman. Like, hey, hey, kid.
Here's your debut.
How's your broken leg? Go out there and throw an... I don't know if that was the same
day
he threw an interception to Tully Bantakane. Anyway, there's a name for you.
I didn't know there was a Tully in the NFL.
Tully Bantakane.
Tully Bantakane?
Yeah, he's a former Patriots defender. He intercepted Lossman. So The Patriots, are they really thinking about starting Drake May next week? You didn't want to start him. You had to protect him. Mm-hmm. And now it's week four, and you're going to start him against, checks the schedule, the 49ers? This is a good idea?
Uh-huh.
You're Drake May, you get drafted to New England. Versus, I mean, Chicago
is supposed to be a good setup.
It is supposed to be a good setup.
At least more than the other rookie ones.
Right, but none of those guys got a great offensive guy. With a group, I've got in Chicago. Yeah. It's who?
Shane Waldron. Shane Waldron.
In Washington, it's Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
And in New England, it's Alex Van Pelt.
The guy that was supposed to maybe have it was Bo Nix with Sean Payton, but Sean Payton might be toast. It's like one of the best.
It is
offensive minds.
Right. The coordinator dependent point. I like it to layer in context. Think about what Mike McDaniel has done with Tua, a guy that was limited, and he put a perfect system around him, or whatever. He's got a system that works for Tua. How about Matt LaFleur last week? What he did with Malik Willis.
Mm-hmm.
Just easy throws, keep it simple, do this.
We'll do these quarterback runs.
We'll design a system that will win a game. And not every quarterback gets that opportunity as a young guy. 803-0550. The Bills did a good job with Allen right away. Like, they brought him along the right way. They helped develop him. Doesn't mean he wouldn't have succeeded elsewhere, but the Bills had a good system in place. So I like the point. I like that conversation, you know, the conversation in general. 803-0550. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. And Jets Patriots recap, Sal coming up, the latest on the injury report, how the Bills are talking about the Jags as a weird game. Ed Oliver said a lot of weird parts of it, and it seems he's right. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.